Welcome, Photon Warriors. Commence strategic maneuvers at audible command signal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Jackalope Radio presents Movies Hate You. Movies Hate You, with your host, Rob Housechild.
And welcome to Movies Hate You, another episode, another adventure. We are sponsored by bmovie.com. That's b-movie.com. You can email movieshateyou@gmail.com. And tonight, the DVD reviewer, Mr. Lee, who we introduced last week, is going to take a break this week because this is going to be a very special show. I've got some very special guests. We're doing an all VHS show, so there's no need for a DVD reviewer to come on. He's banned for this episode, but he will be back for anybody who cares. I certainly do, and I know Todd does. Todd, you know something about VHS. A lot of your early films were shot on.
Oh, Lord. Yep. Yeah.
And as always, I will turn the show over to you. No, I will turn it on you, actually.
Don't do it, man. Don't do it.
Well, you just listen to tonight's show. We got four guys on. They're all nuts in their own way, and they're all doing great things with VHS appreciation and collecting and et cetera, et cetera. We're going to get to them. First is the controversial filmmaker, Mr. Keith Crocker, the Reverend Crocker, as I like to call him. I think he's on the line. Keith, are you with us?
Yes, I am. I am still
here.
Oh,
God. Yes. Such a distinct voice. Keith and I go way back. We used to co-host a radio show on the small freeform station called WFMU here in lovely New Jersey. We did a few shows called Crackpot Cinema.
Correct.
It's good to have you back. It's always a pleasure to do a show with you.
It always is. I'm telling you. First off, it's that whole blast from the past element of reminding us of the Crackpot Cinema that we did. And that was a lot of work and a lot of preparation because we did a lot with music. It was quite an experience. But yeah, that was a good show. We had a good time with that. We really did.
Well, I wanted to bring you on because we're doing an all VHS show. We've got three other great people coming on. One of them is Josh Schaefer from Lunch Meat, a magazine in which I did a profile on you and your VHS collection in.
That's correct.
This is perfect, right. Perfect to put you two together. Josh will be on in a little while, and Matt Desiderio is going to come on. We had him on one full episode a few back. He does the Horror Boobs, which is a VHS centric kind of video and live performance conglomerate thing. I don't know what to call it. We'll ask him when he comes on. Keith, what? Right off the bat, just real quick, what do you think about Todd Sheets movies on VHS back in the day?
Well, Todd Sheets movies on VHS. What Todd Sheets movies on VHS? That was what it was. But what you're asking is actually a very very good question because
you're avoiding the question.
It's what we call a defining moment. What you're doing is you're creating a definition here, and you're talking about Todd Sheets, and you're talking about VHS, and the two go hand in hand.
You're the biggest BSer I've ever met. Like, there's clearly a guy who's never seen a Todd Sheets movie. He's like, oh yeah, Todd Sheets is essential to VHS, of course.
No, but it was he was a perfect example. And by the way, you are quite wrong about that because I actually did see Todd Sheets movies, and I will explain why. It was my connection. I knew a guy who owned a video store, And this guy loved to populate the shelves in the store with current product and with product that was at the time being shot on video or whatever it was being shot on, as long as it was on video, he had a cult section. So I, of course, my first film shared a seat in that cult section along with Todd's films and various other people's films. People would just send stuff or bring stuff into him, and he would put it up on his shelves for rent. And it was, and the store still exists. The store still stands, completely different owner, but the store still stands, probably the last store renting VHS on Long Island, with the possible exception of a couple of libraries that may still have VHS in their collection. But I think it's the last video store on Long Island that has a pulse, that's breathing.
Wow. Are they selling any stuff?
He's not. What he's doing, the newest owner, is pretty much holding on to the old VHS. If he finds a superior DVD re-release of a certain tape, he may sell the tape. He's done it on occasion, but it's not. It hasn't been, per se, a full-fledged regular practice.
So now you've totally avoided the Todd Sheets question, but in 96, Todd, what were you filming? Because Keith was filming his first feature, The Bloody Ape, but on Super 8 film, which did come out on video.
And actually, Rob, you're wrong about that. Bloody Ape was actually shot in 93. It was transferred, color-corrected on videotape and edited in technically 96. You're right, and it was out in 97 through Vanguard Releasing. That is the weird, convoluted history of The Bloody Ape, but the actual shooting was 93.
What do I know? I only distribute the film. I don't really care about the technicalities.
And you're starting to believe your own publicity.
Well, the New York Times said it was 96.
Yes, they did. 97, actually. And that keeps going back to the fact that that was when it had its official video release. That was when we actually premiered it, which we did at that video store. The one that I keep talking about, we actually had premieres there. We had two because we did so well the first time. We had such an overwhelming response that we did another one about 6 months later.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed, sir. I can't make these things up.
Did we lose Todd?
I'm here.
Mr. Todd.
Yes, sir.
He's here.
What were you shooting in 96?
He just couldn't take it anymore.
In 96.
He had no headaches with you today. He said, I'm going to cut out for a while.
In 96, it was 95, 96 was Violent New Breed and Dead Things. I shot those both in 96 and right between 95 and 96.
Huh. Did we lose Rob?
Yeah, no, I'm here. I'm putting this. I just love it that both of you were in different parts of the country shooting your own movies at the same time, pretty much.
Well, yeah, there was what were you speaking of, Rob? Is now there was this format that we had that we could release our films on and get them seen. I think that's what the unifying thing is the fact that you had this format and you could get the films out there and get them seen.
Right,
and I think there's a problematic end to it, though. I mean, I think certainly if you go back just 15 years prior to say 95, 96, you know, we would have had the opportunity to have the projects that we did screened cinematically, and when you had things shown cinematically, that's also where the real money was. There was real money then in that. The other real money was in the early days of video. Very early days of video, though. You're talking up to about probably, I guess, maybe 86.
When the tapes were $99.
Yeah, exactly.
And the stores had to buy, yeah.
Exactly.
I talked to Sam Sherman about that, and Sam ran Super Video. Anybody who remembers those clamshells, they're classics. They actually had the art like built into the clamshell. They're really, really cool. They weren't slipcovers. But that's what he had said. When the sell-through got too small, he was like, forget it. I don't want to do this anymore. You know, because they were making a killing on these like $69 tapes, you know, of thousands of stores around the country.
Sure. And what the stores were looking for, Rob, was product to put on their shelves. Because in the beginning, there wasn't enough of it. What was it? Magnetic video?
Yeah.
That was it. And then later on, they needed more. There was such a starvation for product. And that was how, you know, that again, that was what I call the first money. In VHS, but sell-through, you know.
That's when he said he got out of it, yeah.
Right, exactly.
Hey, let's bring Matt in. We got to bring more. We have a VHS whole thing happening today, so.
Okay, give me a second. Let me find him and get him in here.
Yeah.
Looks like he's on his way.
All right.
There we go.
You've never talked to Matt Keith, have you?
No, I've never talked to Matt, and I've never talked to Josh either.
Hello?
Well, this guy, Matt, that's coming in, you know, he's a real SOB, you know, he's a real cutthroat collector and everything, but we'll get him on the phone and talk to him as soon as he picks up. He's a real.
I'm already here, Rob.
Shoot! Hey, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, dude?
What's up, bro? We've got, of course, our illustrious producer Todd Sheets, a SOB.
Todd, how's it going, dude?
How are you?
Doing good. Good to see you again, or hear you.
Todd Sheets, the SOV veteran, and Keith Crocker, the controversial filmmaker of Blitzkrieg and The Bloody Ape, and who had his first film distributed on VHS by Vanguard Cinema. That's now an art house label. And we're starting our VHS orgy.
Who's gonna dip it first?
It's all male.
I'm game.
You're gay? I didn't know that.
You learn something new every day.
Hey, man, whatever works for you, bro. I'm not here to judge anyone. I'm only here to judge movies.
Well, if you got a VHS, I'll swing your way.
Keith has a huge collection of VHS.
Oh, really?
He likes sharing.
You know, I'll tell you something, but that huge collection, it started really, really for, you know, it wasn't something I had intended to do, number one. Number two, the affordability was there. You know, you're talking about when I started that collection, we're talking the very early 90s, and you had video stores going out of business, and they just needed to get rid of that product. A lot of them just couldn't get the tapes away quick enough, and they would just drop the prices. So you're talking about prices that were about $9. Some of them were $5 and change, then later on $3 and change. So it was a collection that was amassed in a very cheap manner. You know, I think that's one of the first things I always like to point out. There was no, you know, there was no major money spent per se on one particular title. A lot was bought in bulk, and for cheap.
I'm right there with you. I understand that.
I think you two, knowing both of you outside of this VHS orgy, that you're both of the same mindset. You're kind of not anti the way collecting's been going with the high prices, the $100 tapes, the $600 tapes, the $1,000 tapes. But you're old school now. You want to go and you want to find it somewhere and you want to pay like $2 for it, and that's the way it should be done. You know, that's why the vibe I get from you guys.
Yeah, you can still do it, man. I mean, you know just as well as I. There's plenty of places that you can still just go out and find those tapes. I mean, there's still places that's dumping it. I think we're a little lucky because we're in New York and there was the whole 60-40 law here, and that's a big deal, I think, and why we could still find tapes. But, I think I hear stories about people in other states that are just, like, running their mouth about how dry it is. They can't find stuff. You know, I think we have a skewed kind of vision of how these things really are. But, you know, well, whatever. Good for us. Bad for them.
We were definitely lucky. And, you know, if you were motivated and you knew what the hell you were looking for, and I knew what I was looking for because I had started, I started Cinefear Video in 90. And I was doing it predominantly with like 16mm films that I had transferred. But I was looking for more bulk product, and I knew there were so many titles on video that were now out of print and now inaccessible. And as the video stores were closing, I just happened to be there for it. You know, and it was just being in the right place at the right time, and that was really how it worked. That, you know, that was there was a motivation, there was a reason for doing it, and that's why I did it. It wasn't something that I really had in my head, because it's a space. It takes up a lot of space. So oh, I think you have to be conscious of that. You know? Right now, it does.
I'm with you.
You don't want to see Matt's VHS collection, man. It's taken over his life.
Oh, I could imagine. Oh, I could imagine. I know. No, I know. I mean, really, seriously, you know, you have to find a fucking home for it. That always becomes the problem. It's like literally trying to find space. It's like you start digging holes in your own walls.
That's the disadvantage of living in New York. It's, you know, $3 tape, but, you know, $2,000 rent in a little space.
I think we're spoiled on the East Coast, you know, being just crammed. That there was so much. There were so many video stores. I mean, at one point, you could belong to 15 or 16 video stores within, you know, like a 4 or 5 town radius. I mean, there were so many majors and mom and pops happening at the same time for a period until the majors.
You know, one store was out of your tape, you just drove down to the next store to rent it. It was, you know, that was the thing.
Absolutely.
Or walk down to the next store.
Yeah.
No, you're right about that. It was walk down to the next store. And I think, you know, Rob, we've talked, well, in the future, we'll hopefully, you know, we'll get him on in relation to the Bloody Eight. But, you know, George Reese of DVD Drive-In, George Reese always told me, and I know this for a fact because we did it together. We were tape hunting together in the mid-90s. And he told me about stores that I didn't even know existed that were not too far from where I live. But he was traveling around. He literally joined whatever little club he could join, you know, whatever little video store was around. He joined them because one store would have product that the other didn't. And it was and as Matt was just pointing out, all he had to do was just, you know, if you couldn't find something in one place, you took a walk down the road, you found it somewhere else. And I think that, you know, that's an important fact. That it's hard for a lot of people to believe that it was out there like that, that it was that readily available, but it was. It really, really was.
And also, like, you know, especially in New York, all the little bodegas, corner stores, you know, at least in New Jersey, there were, like, delis that carried VHS, and some of them, you know, they didn't carry the top echelon releases. It was all the, like, off-brand or pseudo-gray market stuff, so you can get, like, really oddball tapes, or they were buying tapes that no one else wanted, so they had like the weirdest collection of horror and cult films.
I think you get a lot of those weird Spanish movies here too, which is kind of cool. You know, that's something that I don't see a lot of people championing.
right.
It's like, you know, Spanish sleaves and stuff like that. You know, that's the type of stuff you would find in those, like, you know, the delis and corner stores and stuff.
Spanish
and American videos, you know.
You would find, you know, like Jess Franco titles and weird Italian stuff. And yes.
And I think the closer you were to a very rough neck of the woods, the closer you were to some really bad neighborhoods, the better the video stores were. Because as strange as this sounds, but the truth is they were pandering to that type of audience. They knew what was renting. So, yeah, you'd find more psychotic stuff in the rougher neck of the woods. My favorite video stores were usually on the border of, so I'm from Long Island, right? So my favorite video stores were on the border of Far Rockaway, which is really Queens. But Far Rockaway is a pretty rough neck of the woods. I mean, there's some nice parts to Far Rockaway, but there's some really bad parts.
Matt's from Queens. I hope he's not from Far Rockaway. Yeah. Putting it down.
No, I'm closer to Brooklyn. I'm closer to Bushwick and stuff like that. I'm the complete opposite side. But, you know, same thing over here. There's, you know, within just walking distance, it's, you know, the neighborhood is not that great. And, you know, even then it was worse. So I totally understand that. And even now, like, you still find tiny stores that are still or were holding on and amazing finds, just totally insane stuff.
Right, exactly. Right, exactly. It's true. And stores, he talks about stores still hanging on, and yeah, there is some of that too. We've got I mentioned that we've got one real existing video store in Long Island, but up by Westbury, not too far from me, and again on the border of a very bad neighborhood, there is one existing it was a Spanish, you know, specialized in Spanish product. It was a Spanish video store. Now, I would bet that they've turned most of their stock over to DVD at this point. I haven't checked it in a while. It's been a while since I've been there, but they're still there. They're still
so holding what's the on. Address?
In the last time I was in there, I...
Give me the address. Not on
the
air.
Give me
the
name.
The address?
No, not on the air, right?
No, it's funny. No, it's right up there. No, because I don't even know. Like I said, I haven't been in there in a long time to even buy, and the one time I went in there, I didn't buy because there was nothing that really grabbed me. But I'm more particular.
You have you have a killer collection, Keith. And are you still actively collecting though?
That's a great question. But I'm going to be honest with you. Not really. There are a few things that I'm kind of still looking for that I wouldn't mind adding to the collection. I refuse to get caught up on the eBay madness. To get caught up on that you're going to end up paying when you paid so little years ago, it's very difficult to justify paying a lot more now.
You wouldn't pay $600 for a tape? Come on.
Please.
You're not dedicated.
And you know what, Rob?
Oh,
people who are selling those tapes are laughing their ass off. They're dying. They're because they sat on those things, or they got them by accident. Someone gave them to them. And maybe they did research. Maybe somebody did the research. Maybe they did the research and they said, "Oh shit! Look what I can, look what I can do with this now," and it's mind blowing because it's like, I gotta be honest with you, it's one thing if it kind of matched the value of maybe what the tape sold for originally, but if you're starting to jump into the $600 range, my God, can you imagine how hard that guy's laughing when something like that sells? It's bizarre to me. It really, really is, and I also can't justify it.
What's the most you've ever paid for a tape, Keith?
The most I've ever paid for a tape, Rob, I think. That's a great, great question. That's an excellent question.
A dollar?
No. I've been better than that, Rob. I'm not that bad. Rob, I think the most I've ever paid is about $30.
Okay, that's okay? To me that's reasonable. I've paid $30 for tapes. I've paid close to $100 for one.
Range.
That's one time.
$100?
Yeah, one time I played just under $100. I think he wanted like $150, and it was on Amazon. And I emailed him and talked him down to $100 because it was sitting there for months, and I was like, "Would you just take $100 for this?" And
I think I'm with Keith. I'm about $25-$30 top. The most I've ever spent. I think
depends how bad you want something. Sometimes you get into that fanboy head. You're just like, why? You're so obsessed with something, and you have to remember pre-torrents or the accessibility of titles for download. Finding rare titles wasn't easy, even with the internet. You had to get a tape.
Now, I just want to mention really quick that I'm not championing these people that are selling these tapes for a lot of money, but I want to also, you got to acknowledge the opposite side of the coin that, God forbid I was in a horrible situation, I would not think twice about having to sell something if I really had to.
Oh, no, Matt, I think...
And I would be really sad about it.
I
would not be laughing.
I think what you're thinking about, Matt, and I think that you're coming at this from a survivalist point of view, I would do the same thing. I mean, if I fall on my, if I really fall on my ass, you better believe that I could turn around and sell this stuff. Anything I've ever collected over the years.
Would you both?
I look at it as an investment, Matt.
Would you both consider me first and give me a call when you fall on your butts and hurt yourselves and you're in the hospital? Actually, we could fill out some paperwork. We could fill out some paperwork, off air, and you can will things to people.
Possibility of getting it back.
Do you know if people die, they can will you something? Like, oh, Rob can have all my VHS tape. You could do that kind of stuff in the last will and testament.
But you know what I was hoping to do, Rob.
I want that big box ghastly ones, Keith, and I'm going to steal it if I have to, and I want that damn thing from your house.
Well, that's interesting. Is that the one you really look at the most? Is that the one that impressed you the most, Rob? Really?
I I've never seen that before, and I've never seen it since, and maybe it's just I'm not looking in the right place. I'm not obsessed. I'm not looking on eBay every day, but that's just such a beautiful cover, man. That was great stuff.
The Wonderful World of Video. And the interesting thing about you know what? What the hell actually? Which company was that? Now Video Home Library, right? Wasn't Wonderful World of Video? Video Home Library, who also did a lot of vintage adult movies. They put them out on video as well. And if I'm not mistaken, it was Mike Boghossian who had been selling, you know, before around the same time as Sinister, but before Cinefear, before me, before Something Weird, he was the guy who was transferring and selling a lot of rare titles. And if I'm not mistaken, Video Home Library bought a couple of his transfers, and that also included the cut version of The Flesh Eaters, which I guess it was a TV print of.
Mm.
And he transferred that, and they put that out. He also did Ghastly Ones. And he also had The Flesh films long before Something Weird ever got them.
Yeah.
He had The Flesh films. Oh, yeah.
Do you have the...
From Whitestone, Queens.
Do you have the Witch's Mountain on Unicorn?
Yes, I do.
That's $300 on eBay right now.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, I know.
You know, because you're watching it right now, right?
I am watching it. You know, somebody bought that SS Hellcamp that's been up there for like a month.
And how much was that?
A Paul copy?
$1.25. Yeah. Yeah, I think it is. I don't know, $125.
Josh Schaefer's on his way.
All right, let's get Mr. Schaefer in here. I think you both know him.
Hello.
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 Hi, is this Domino's?
Yeah.
Cool. I want to order some pizza with VHS tapes on it.
Yeah, we got that.
Cool. Is that like the 5 for $15 deal?
Yeah. You get 5 chest tapes on there.
Awesome.
5, 5, 5, right?
5, 5, 5.
It's 5.
I didn't even plan that joke. That worked out great. Thanks, Matt.
You're welcome.
Josh Schaefer is with us now. Whoever is in the VHS community, if you don't know who Josh is, then you're really not in the VHS community, because he runs the first and possibly only print magazine dedicated to VHS, and I am lucky enough to be a contributor to that magazine. I write a column called Tapes from the Trash for Josh, and he's a very patient editor, and I'm sometimes a very late writer, and I'm always grateful for him including me. I get to write about exercise tapes and the garbage nobody else wants to talk about that goes for $1 on eBay and not $200, and that's the way I like it. But Keith was profiled in an earlier issue of Lunch Meat, so you know Keith, Josh, and Matt Desiderio from Horror Boobs. Of course, you guys know each other very well. So we're having a VHS orgy, Josh. Welcome.
Yo, this is awesome.
Hey, you know what? Josh texted me when I said, he goes, "Oh, are you going to call me on Skype?" I go, "No, my producer Todd Sheets is going to call you." And he goes. He's like, "What? Prehistoric Bimbos in Armageddon City, Todd Sheets?"
Oh.
Yeah.
See that?
See, Todd? You are famous.
Todd Sheets, the living legend. That's it.
Man. Yep.
That's what this is, man. I'm telling you.
I'm really sorry about Bimbos movies. I'm really sorry.
Come on, man.
You owe no apologies.
Own your VHS heritage.
You were working. That's the point.
I was sleeping at that time.
You made a lot of movies, though, man. No.
Yeah, I did. No. I made some okay ones, but that particular movie, I kind of think I was pulling an H.G. Lewis. I fell asleep behind the camera.
You see, you were so ahead of yourself that the subject matter just didn't keep up with you. That's what it was. You were thinking of what was coming next.
You're probably shooting like 5 movies at the same time, right? That's really what we're
doing. Well, on the Bimbos movies, I actually didn't have a lot of directing. I was training other people during those movies, and they directed them, and I kind of just got credit. Thanks.
Yeah, blame it on your students, man. Great.
Someone has to take the blame.
Josh, tell us a little bit about how Lunch Meat started, why, and how you did it, and what's happening right now. We're kind of talking about the whole the collecting scene, the crazy prices on eBay, the going out and still hunting for stuff, our collections, what we've been collecting over the years, and tell people who don't know who might be listening what lunch meat is and how to get it and all that good stuff. Give us a little setup here.
Cool. Well, I started lunch meat about 3 years ago with my buddy Ted. We worked at a metal label called Relapse Records. We worked in a metal mail order where you can buy all kinds of metal goodies. And we would take our lunch breaks together and talk about movies and rare paperbacks and things like that. And we figured out that we like a lot of movies that are on VHS only. We started to realize this, and I had tons of VHS tapes. I've been collecting VHS tapes since I was young. And we started to think about what if we just wrote about them and, you know, published it. And, you know, because we like physical media. We like the like magazines and books and VHS tapes, things like that. And we just wanted to make something kind of fun and punk rock and DIY. And we started doing it, and we didn't expect anybody to react to it. But it's just – it's been crazy. It's just – it's been a real catalyst to get in touch with lots of other people that are into VHS and keeping the format alive and recognizing the format and the value of it. And just the community inside of it is just out. It's out of this world, man. I'm really, the magazine is really doing what I wanted it to do, and I couldn't be more pleased with it. I love meeting you guys and being able to do this and talk about VHS tapes and talk about rare movies and stuff like that. And that's really why I started it, to like talk about these films and still recognize VHS as a viable way to find great films and the only way to see certain films and just all that kind of stuff. That's really what Lunch Meat is, and it's fun. Right now, I have issue number 6 coming out. It's at the printer right now. It should be here in a couple weeks. And hey, Rob, I'm lucky to have you writing for me, by the way. I've told you many times, but your piece is probably my personal favorite piece in the magazine every time.
Aw, shucks. Dude, because I bet you say that's all the writers.
No, you review those movies that excuse me, nobody else might watch, but you do, and you know what they're about and what they're for and what their entertainment value is. And I mean, I love covering those movies because those are the type of movies that will really never, ever, ever, ever make the jump, because who the hell gives a shit? You know what I mean?
Right. But, yeah, nobody cares about them. But you know what? I love the stuff that I write about in here. Like, I just don't grab stuff. I mean, they're all handpicked for a reason. Like, you know, Hawk Jones, man. How come nobody's talking about Hawk Jones? That's such an awesome movie.
Yeah, I read the review of it. I was like, I got to see this. This sounds outrageous.
Right, exactly. You know,
and it's like, you talk about Terror in Tiny Town and stuff like that, and that movie's absolutely wild. It's so,
yeah, there's so much stuff out there. There's so much shot on video, instructional stuff like the hypnotism thing that I reviewed in this issue. It's just killer, man. It's all part of the lifestyle that it was back then to grab this stuff and see, even if you just saw it on the shelves over and over again, like every store had certain tapes, and you know, everybody gravitates toward the horror, and that's cool, but it's been done and it's really happening and going crazy right now, and let it happen. But there's all this other stuff that no one, like, what about all these, like, you know, Harlequin romance videos that were coming out, these shot on video, like, you know, I don't know what they would be, softcore kind of things. Nobody writes about those. You know, the whole kind of second wave blaxploitation movement that happened on VHS direct-to-video. No one talks about that. There's so many genres that are still untapped, and that's what I love about it, that there's tons, hundreds of movies that we can still discover that are just as entertaining as, like, the Savage Bees or something else we find on tape that we love.
And that's also what you were talking about, Rob, when you were doing Vex magazine. Because I think that you
touched, right, right.
I think the interesting thing about Vex was that you had already laid down the format for what you're doing now in the articles that you contribute to Lunch Meat or whatever. Yeah. You know, you were always interested in these bizarre little things, and that means that you were paying attention. That years ago, even if you were going in specifically, say, for a horror film or a teen comedy or whatever, you were still paying attention to what else was on those shelves. You were watching, you were looking, you would see what was going on around you, and it caught your interest. You know, you want to know a little bit about everything, and that's a good thing.
It's the weirdest thing, you know, like, I never, everything influenced me, and that's how I kind of give it back, is like, you know, a Disney movie is just as important as Animal House, is just important as Don't Go in the House. You know, to me, it's all the same thing. It's on the same playing field, because that's how I grew up, watching it all mishmashed together. It wasn't like, you know, of course I gravitated toward horror and more extreme stuff, but it was, you know, and VHS is the reason why. Not only going to films and going to grindhouses when I was a kid and inner city theaters, but you know, renting this stuff. You know, you get sick of horror after a while. You rent them all. Like if you're stuck to like two video stores when you're 15 and you can't drive to other towns or whatever, you start renting stuff that's not horror because you've seen it all, everything you want to see on the shelf.
That's right.
They can't bring them in fast enough, so you have to go into the other areas and try to find stuff that's, you know, speaking to you. But this show ain't about me, guys. Come on, thank you. I appreciate it. But, you know, I could talk about myself all damn night.
Oh, man.
Oh, and by the way, we're on the Movies Hate You show, sponsored by bmovie.com, b-movie.com, where you can get all kinds of stuff on DVD. But who cares about that? This is all about VHS. Josh Schaefer, Matt Desiderio from the Horror Boobs, Keith Crocker, the raconteur and controversial filmmaker. Matt, tell us about Horror Boobs, because we didn't have you talk about what you guys do.
No, whatever.
Okay. Go to horrorboobs.com.
Come on, Matt.
Yeah, horrorboobs.com. It's a website with very little information and lots of pictures of naked women from horror movies. I mean, that's about it, but we do a lot of live events. You know, we host screenings at different theaters. We do the VHS Vault event at the Nighthawk, and, you know, we cut a lot of nude scenes and weird clips from movies together and show them at these places, and, you know, it's kind of like what DJs do with their records, but, you know, with VHS tapes, I guess, or something.
And,
like that.
And you, if you missed the last one, VHS Possessed, you missed Matt destroying a VCR in front of the audience. Like, literally, I thought you were going to get thrown out. Literally grabbing it by the tail and just slamming the VCR onto the ground and smashing it, and not knowing that there was a rare tape in the VCR when he did this.
Yeah, I freaked out because I didn't realize it. I told Amanda to put any tape in. Amanda also does horror boobs with me. Let me just say that, Amanda Chapman. Thank you very much. You'll get the full credit there. There you go. But anyway. I was like, put any tape. I didn't realize that I left one tape that I actually wanted on the table, and but the one tape I didn't want her to put in there.
Was it Grandma's House? Was
it? It was a Grandma's House tape, and you know,
dude,
not
I got
a very
Grandma's
rich.
House for you, Matt. I got Grandma's House for you.
No, I got, dude. You believe it or not, when I told Jeff to take the VCR home, and like I looked at it, and I was like, the whole top was open, and I like, you know, surgeons. The tape out of all the spools, right? And then pull, you know, work its way back out of the mouth, and you know, I got the tape out of there. But it was literally like busted wide open, like
wow.
A pinata. It was hilarious.
Wow.
I did not know that tape.
Did you test that tape yet, though?
No, I haven't tested the tape. Why?
You got to.
Oh, whatever. If it's a little fuzzy, that's
if it doesn't work, I got it for you, man. I got one of those.
Okay. Thank
and
you.
And Josh, I don't know if you said this. People can find the great things you're doing with your magazine at lunchmeatvhs.com.
That's absolutely right. We do have a website now. We didn't have a website for a long time.
Yeah, and you have stuff up there too. I mean, you were really hardcore. You were like, you got to get the print. There's no website. I don't know what you're talking about. Web.
Yeah. I mean, it took a little while for us to get a website, but I'll tell you what, man. The blog is really fun. There's a lot of cool stuff on there. The blog's really opened up a forum where we can talk about stuff that wouldn't necessarily make it into the magazine, but it's still tons of fun, and you know, you get to cover a lot of cool stuff, and you get to talk about the community a lot, like people collecting, people from the magazine, people send in like pictures of their collection, like what they find out there, like digging. Like, we're all proponents of digging here on this show. I think we could speak for everybody where eBay's fun and everything, but the actual act of going out and finding VHS tapes is...
We were just talking about that. I'm on eBay right now, and I'm looking at what stuff is sold for. We're going to bring Josh Hadley on. Josh Hadley's another host on Jackalope. We're going to really make this a full orgy here.
He's here.
Josh.
How are things?
Very good. How are you, man?
All right.
We're like knee-deep in VHS talk here, and we wanted to bring you in. We got Josh Schaefer from Lunch Meat Magazine, who you know, who's been on your show. You've got Matt Desiderio from the Horror Boobs, who does live VHS DJing or VJing and other things with boobs. And Keith Crocker, the controversial filmmaker. Do you like when I say that, man? When I say you're controversial?
Love that. Oh, of course I love it. Sure.
Well, he's also a VHS collector. Josh Hadley is a VHS collector. Talks about VHS on one or all three of his many shows on Jackalope Station, Radio Drome, Lost in the Static, WTF Radio. We can't say the full name, but you know what that means, guys. Okay. It's a family show.
Totally.
Okay, what's your collection? I'm going to say Josh H. Favorite tape, rarest tape, whatever. Yeah, that you have in your own collection. Everybody's going to give that out.
The Nuclear Conspiracy.
There you go. That's a good one.
Hey.
Oh yeah, I just got that, man. Yeah. Actually,
that's the weirdest cover, man. It's just like so. Yeah, the hand drawn clamshell.
Wait a minute, Josh. Did I send you that tape?
You sent me a tape. I found a better quality, a better copy.
Okay. Because I thought
send that one back.
Yeah, I mean,
how much do you want for the one that was no good?
Oh, it's just the cover art was cut to fit a clamshell.
Oh yeah, it was cut. It was cut. But the movie was good.
The movie was great. I actually liked the movie so much. I found the director online and emailed him, and he sent me an autographed poster from the movie.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So cool.
I think that's one of the awesome things about these things. If you contact these directors and actors and stuff from these movies that no one even like cares about anymore, they're just like, oh, thank God someone's out there who likes my stuff still.
I knew this would happen one day, you know, finally. I mean, I think that for me, at the heart of all this is that we are discovering movies that people forgot about, never cared about, that just got lost through the cracks, never got distribution on DVD. And I think when DVD came out, like everybody went nuts, fanboys went crazy and kind of just shunned VHS and were like, yeah, everything's going to be out on DVD. Like, no, not at all. I mean, just like any other books or records or anything else, there are tons of things left to discover in all genres on VHS.
Especially porn.
Yeah, I don't know. For sure.
Yeah, Keith, you won't believe how much 80s porn will probably never get a legit DVD release.
Oh, Keith, you have most
Thank
of it,
goodness.
Keith, don't you? Well, come on, Todd.
Who's going to open this up? There's so much porn out there. Yeah, there is an avalanche of porn out there that will never be on DVD.
Yeah, you have to go to porn shops and look for their VHS stuff because a lot of porn shops still have VHS.
Let's switch it up. Let's talk about our favorite porn tapes. Forget about these.
Let's
shift into.
I was going to say, what was your favorite family movie on VHS? Come on, guys.
Hey, Rob.
Yeah.
I have to interject. My favorite VHS I have is the movie Sorceress, the Roger Corman flick, only because I don't think it'll ever get released on DVD. And for some reason, I really like that piece of junk.
I love that movie.
Pretty
man.
High-end bootleg of that if you need, Todd.
No.
Picky.
You are the dark side, man. You are the dark side. No, seriously, though, I think that's one of the coolest movies. And I can't believe they haven't made it part of that whole collection of resurrected Corman titles. It's just unbelievable.
That's been the weird thing. That's been out of print for so long, and everybody's, you know, it's like a kind of like a perennial bootleg because it's just been, you know, everyone's kind of given up on it ever coming out in any other format. So let it live on VHS, man.
That's right.
That's what this is all about.
Did I tell you I got like 4,200 VHS tapes?
How many times are you going to rub that in, man?
I still got to have you come out to the garage one day.
I'll get a ticket. Just tell me when, man. I'll be on a plane.
But that number just went up from the last time that we talked.
It was like 3,500 last time. Now you found
it. Yeah, well, the thing was I went through my book. I found my old book, you know, where you kind of used to write down when you'd get titles.
God.
Yeah, I found my old book and I was counting them because I stopped counting at a certain time and I started counting again and I was like, man, like 4,212. I was like, I'm done. I'm done counting at this point. It was just insane.
I tell you what, Matt, Josh, both Josh's, Keith, myself, we'll come out there. I'm sure Jackalope could use the money, man. You know, we'll just start $1 a tape. You're guaranteed to make at least $4,200.
Yeah, man, that's like a vacation.
Like Uncle Scrooge, man.
Yeah.
Like a swim in those tapes.
We'll rent a U-Haul and drive out there, man.
Am I the only one hearing the Star Trek arena music going through my head as we're all fighting over the same tapes?
That's awesome.
Yeah, it'll be one of those things, you know, I'll jump in the taxi when we get to the airport, leave you guys there. You know, it'll be like the Amazing Race. Yeah.
See, it won't work, though, because I've already chartered my own plane secretly, so that won't work.
Rob digs hard, man. Rob digs hard. We were at that store, Rob. When I'll never forget, I walked in there. You like had like a like a Rambo bandana on. And he had dirty jeans on. Like, because this dude was bringing up boxes from the basement. And they're all dirty. And Rob's like, "What's going on, man? You're a little late." And I'm like, "Oh, no." And you're like, "All these tapes already." I'm like, "Oh, shit. I'm like going through the stuff you got." Oh, man.
I was kind of hardcore.
Hard, Rob, you do.
I don't mess around, man. You never see me whip out the rubber gloves, man, you know, because sometimes it gets kind of dirty. You know, you have to really get in there.
You know, ask Matt about getting dirty with the porno dust, man. What do you know about that?
Yeah, that's the porno dust, man. We coined the phrase
porno dust. No gloves on the porno dust.
That's definitely what it was, Rob. Do you remember us going through a lot of the adult shops, Rob?
Oh, man.
Looking more for the bizarro, the horror tapes and that type of stuff. But, I mean, because they had that law there where they had to have a certain percentage of the store given over to, you know, some form of non-pornographic
legitimate
material.
Yeah.
And we they had all this stuff, and that was where that was like that next big burst of finally.
Everyone gave Giuliani a hard time, but he did something good.
That was good for us. It was damn good for us.
The only thing we'll thank Giuliani for, is that right, Matt?
Well, I got a question I'd like to ask all you guys as VHS collectors. Have you guys ever gotten swindled buying a VHS and then you open it up and you find out it's a beta tape in a VHS box?
That's never happened to me.
It wouldn't have been a problem for me because I still have a beta.
I have me too.
That's a way to beat it.
It would work out. If it happened, in terms of has it happened, no. But if it did happen, wouldn't have been the worst thing. You know, for myself, wouldn't have been the worst thing in the world. I still have a beta and I have beta tapes, so I was like, that's no problem.
Because I just picked up Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Assassination, the Bronson movie, and all three are in VHS-sized boxes, and except for a tiny little beta logo on the spine, there's nothing else that indicates that these are beta tapes.
Uh-huh. I even have the damn RCA Selectivision.
Selectivision.
I do. I have Laserdisc, Selectivision, I got beta, and I got VHS. I'm hard up, man.
Selectivision?
Remember that crap?
Man,
yeah. When's there going to be a Selectivision magazine, Josh? Huh?
I don't know. We can work on it. We do have a great collection of minds here. Hey, speaking of getting beat on tapes, I do want to share this. Not getting the wrong format, but I bought a Stephen King. He did some pilots for TV shows, and Interglobal put them out. I don't know if you guys.
The Night Shift. Yeah.
I picked one of those up, and I was all stoked to watch it. It was like an Interglobal tape. Like pulled the tape out. It was Interglobal sticker. Everything's cool. Put it in Pulp Fiction. A scene.
Whoa.
From
No, Josh, I can one up you on that. I can one up you on that. I bought an Elvira Thriller video. Got it home and noticed there was a piece of tape over the tab. Somebody had recorded the news over the goddamn tape.
The only time I ever stooped to anything like that, I have to admit, was when I went to Blockbuster and they had Dead Alive and it was cut by 20 minutes and I took it home and put my Laserdisc version, the complete uncut version, on there.
Nice.
Yeah, but that was
That's
helpful.
A service.
That was a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a service.
That was a good move.
Or that one time when I took Billy Graham Crusades home and put Cannibal Holocaust on it.
Awesome.
It, you know what, Todd? That might work because the beginning of Cannibal Holocaust, it seems like it's just going to be a nature special. You know, the music.
Now, don't they look up the last person that rented it and then they bust you on and stuff like that?
I dared them.
No, they can never prove it. You could say, I rented it. Yeah, I had the same problem. I just didn't mention it. It didn't bother me. I watched the movie.
I would have been like, yeah, thanks to you, now I'm a cannibal freak. And before I was a Christian, but now I just want to chew on human flesh.
Now my kids had to watch this and they're scarred for life. And you're like, yes. All right, so wait, we got Todd's favorite VHS in his collection. We got Josh Schaefer, favorite VHS in your collection. It could be just right now. It doesn't have to be of all time. I don't want to put you on the spot.
I'd have to say Microwave Massacre is really at the top of the list because it really started me collecting, but I always say Microwave Massacre, so I'm going to try to pick a different one this time. I'm going to go ahead and say Mother's Day because it's one of the first tapes that I got that I found at a dollar store. And there was just a whole shelf of Mother's Day tapes. And I was just like, this looks cool. And I saw it all the time in the rental stores. And I guess I rented it. But I really remember watching that movie and loving it when I bought it from the dollar store. And I watched it like 10 times in a row. And I still love that movie. That movie is fucking awesome. I love Mother's Day. It's probably one of the most sentimental tapes to me in my collection. I love watching that tape.
What about those big box like The Screaming Dead? You remember the first time you saw those? I mean, that just,
oh man,
I still love that movie because it just jumped out, and you know, nothing can really live up to that box art. But it was
cool. That was the thing about those the Wizards, man, is that it was the classic like exploitation trickery, you know, of like the Dave Friedmans or even, you know, the 40 Thieves. It was like that sensationalism in this great poster. It was like a Molly Hatchet cover or something, and then you got inside the movie and it was like you fell asleep.
But you know, you mentioned that, Rob. You said, you know, we've talked about that with the large boxes, and we talked about that was, you know, it was a great, they suckered you.
Yeah.
Picking up. I mean, you found some great films that way. Don't get me wrong, you really did. But they really pulled you in, and that stuff was prime for the years 85 and 86. And that was when you were seeing that stuff pop up, and it was blowing your mind. It really changed your taste a lot in movies. It really, really did. If you know, even if you were say if you were hung up and you were, you know, just into the slasher stuff, some of this stuff would grow on you. You're certainly, you know, Erotikill. You know, I mean,
Yeah. You
know, that it was something like that, and it was fascinating to you because it was kind of combining horror and adult, and it was like, wow, this is amazing. And it wasn't in the adult section; it was in the horror section.
Does anyone here have an Erotikill?
What's that? I do.
You do?
Yeah, I do too.
Oh, I do.
God,
jealous.
Did you guys ever get mad when you got suckered like that?
That was what I was going to bring up, is like, I don't remember ever really getting mad. I mean, it's part of the game, but now I see people like, that girl on the cover wasn't even in the movie. And it's like, you have to have a relationship with movies that you're in for the ride and you're playing the game, or else you're just always going to get mad at whatever they throw at you.
You know what, Rob? I was thankful. I mean, if you think about it, you got to go back to what we had before that, and we didn't. It goes back. It was like, in order to have a movie in your house, you had the little Super 8 digests, you had maybe the 16 millimeter digest. When, you know, Cablevision certainly was bringing movies in. So you might remember WHT, right? Omeka Home Theater.
Yeah,
then,
of course.
Then of course there was the video, but the video was so accessible. And you had such variety. And to me, being a horror film fan, watching so much of this stuff on television and seeing it cut, just the ability to get this stuff, and for the most part, it was uncut. Not all the time. Sometimes they'd use a TV print. So, you know, I mean, there were all sorts of weird issues with it. But in most cases, you were getting to see the stuff uncut. You were getting to see stuff you never saw before. So I was thankful. I don't think there was ever a time I was pissed off. I was just so thankful. I never thought I would see something like that. Also, I never thought I'd be able to afford the machines. In the beginning, they came out in the late 70s. Machines were so expensive. They were beyond belief. I got my first machine in 1983. I had a summer job, and it was in 1983, and I got a Beta. I got a Betamax. And I was just so thankful to be able to go to a store and pick out these titles and things that I wanted to see, all these bizarre things. Some of the earliest things I rented were the amazing Transplant, Doris Wishman film. Okay, I mean, I just couldn't. This stuff was fascinating me. I was looking in the show, saying, "Well, what the hell is this? What the hell is this?" So you wanted to experiment. You wanted to pull out as much rare stuff and as much interesting stuff as possible. And to me, it's just about being thankful. I was just so thankful. Really.
In like 10 seconds, what's your favorite tape, Keith, that in your collection?
You know,
of thousands?
Rob, just because I want to torment you, but I'm going to say the ghastly ones. Sure. And I'll tell you what, Rob. I'll take it this far. I'll say the whole Midnight Line of the Andy Milligan stuff,
Yeah. Because
I was screaming for that Milligan stuff. I had heard about Milligan. I had read about Milligan.
And one day,
what's that?
One day we're going to make a bet, and I'm going to have that Ghastly Ones. You're going to lose that bet.
Or you're just going to steal it. You could do what many others have done. Just get it, open up the window when I'm not there, push it out, all right? come back later, and then just grab it and take it.
Matt,
people did not do that to you.
They
people
did.
Have broken into your house and stole your VHS. Tape.
Listen, Matt. I'm going to tell you the truth. I had an unscrupulous scumbag partner years ago who co-wrote who worked with me on the magazine I did, the Exploitation Journal. And this guy was what you call passive aggressive. You know, rather than get mad at you to your face, he would do things to you behind your back. And this guy cleared some stuff out of my house. I'm going way back.
You put it out the window, right? You said you put it out the window. He would put it out the window and then go collect it later.
I wasn't joking about that, because he basically admitted it without admitting it. When the situation came up in a conversation one time, he was blaming someone else. And I was saying, well, how does this person do it? And he goes, well, you're so trusting. You walk out of the room all the time. All a person has to do is open the window. This is no joke. Matt, I can't make this up. This is the truth. This guy.
Well, Matt, we're going over to Keith's. We're going over to Keith.
Leave the window open.
Listen, guys.
It's a little hot in here, Keith.
Todd is giving me the warning that we're running out of time, and I hate to do this, but would you guys come back and do this again? I mean, we could do a couple more of these VHS shows. There's tons of things that I wanted to discuss, including fandom and how crazy fanboys are going, all these new VHS labels that are coming up, and people releasing stuff on VHS. So there's this whole.
Let's just talk a little longer and cut Josh's part out.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Which Josh? Wait.
Not hey, Josh. I haven't done anything bad.
Both Josh had.
Oh, did I say
both
that?
Of them. Screw up.
My bad.
Well, then I'm not going to. I got mad at for the cover, so meh.
I'm gonna go around the room here and just give you guys a plug for what you're doing, and so people can see what you're doing, and then I'm going to wrap this up. But will you all agree to come back another time in a few weeks and do this again?
You've got my word.
Good.
You've got my word.
You guys are diehard. I love it, man. Matt Desdario, you do Horror Boobs. It's at horrorboobs.com. Check out what he's doing, live shows in the New York area, and boobs on the internet. You can't go wrong there. Josh Schaefer, lunchmeatvhs.com, the first and, I believe, world's only VHS-dedicated magazine, fanzine, whichever you prefer.
Whichever is fine.
Whichever is fine. It is a magazine, then, you know.
Although, thanks, man.
We keep it real and call it a fanzine, but, you know, it's a magazine, bro. It's real. It's in color cover and everything.
Yeah, man.
Check them out for sure. Josh Hadley, you besides the shows you do on Jackalope, is there anything else you're doing that you want to promote, a website, anything you can tell us?
I have an article in the newest issue of Paracinema, issue 13. I've got an article coming out in Hustler of March of next year. Awesome. And I'm going to have regular net articles coming out on geekjuice.com fairly soon.
Nice. Check all those things out. Paracinema is a great magazine, too. Are you writing about VHS in any of these places?
I am in the Hustler article. The Hustler article is about porns that have more story than porn, and you actually like that. And
nice.
Almost every one of them I used was off my old VHSs.
Awesome. Keith Crocker, we can get you at cinefear.com. Are you still selling VHS tapes there, too?
Oh, you know what, Rob? It's funny that you bring that up.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, thank you. I got to cut you off.
Every once in a while, I do have someone ask for VHS. And yes, I do fill the orders. I still have
good.
Remaining
and,
blank.
And you
VHS
sell some of your doubles and stuff. I've seen you sell. But I have to wrap this up. This has been Movies Hate You. We're sponsored by bmovie.com, b-movie.com. Thank you, Josh, Matt, Keith, for coming on, talking about VHS and his
Thanks,
VHS
Rob.
Special. And we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, Movies Hate You.